So I thought I'd do a fun one today and put out there everything that I know, being 43 years on this planet, about hair loss, and more specifically genetic hair loss. There's all sorts of different factors that can happen with diet and autoimmune diseases, and I don't want to touch on that. This is more of just, you've been dealt a bad hand with your parents or grandparents, but you've got the genetic hair trait of hair loss, wherever it may be. I used to be obsessed with this stuff in my late teens and 20s. Obviously, any young man would. And I just want to talk about all the different things I've tried, successes that I have, routines that I think I've mastered, and then fast forward 20 years from now, I'm 43, and now in the longevity space, they're real big on to talking about regrowing hair follicles, getting melanin back in your hair follicles so you can get some color, getting rid of those grays. So I just wanted to throw an episode out there, tell you everything I've known at this point, and where we're going in the future with this. So if you're interested, stay tuned. How's it going? This is Brad Williams with Over 40 Fitness Hacks, the podcast where I help you, being over 40, to fight the aging process without giving up your social life. I've been a personal trainer and gym owner for over 14 years, and I specialize in helping the over 40 crowd get to their goals. If you need a little bit of guidance, check out my show notes. I have a link to schedule a free 15-minute Zoom call, and you can ask all the questions you want. But enough of that. Let's get on with the episode. So like I said, this is more geared towards genetic hair loss. It's just going to happen. You've seen it in your family. You know, they used to think you're going to get whatever your mom's side of the family for all the men's hair trait. But that's not 100% true from what we know now. But it sure does hit home with me because it's exactly what happened to me. All the men on my mom's side of the family had deep receding hairlines, but they never had any crowning issues or too much thinning through the top. My dad's side, all of them have crowning, mega thinning, even deeper receding hairlines. And thankfully, I never got that, but it might have been some of the prevention that I did in the beginning. All I can really do is basically compare myself to my four-year-old brother, who looks just like my uncle on my mom's side, just like they said. And everything I did to prevent that, and I have a ton more hair than he does. So let's just start with genetic hair loss, what I know about it, and I'm just keeping it super simple. You can go down rabbit holes on social media and listen to all the doctors and research scientists, but basically it's very simple. For men specific, you know, going through the puberty and sexual development, gaining body hair, DHT or dihydrotestosterone is a hormone that contributes to a lot of this. And some people have high levels, some people have low levels, and it seems like the higher levels you have, the faster that this process is going to happen. Either way, if you have it in your genetics, it seems like you are going to have genetic hair loss. It's just going to happen. So what do you do about it? There's like a million things out there. Even at the time that I was really worrying about it, there was minoxidil, topical, basically Rogaine. People would talk about saw palmetto and all these holistic things. And I probably read countless stories on Google, people going through this. And I was part of all these international forums about hair loss, guys in their 20s all talking about the stuff they're doing. And to tell you the truth, even back then, I know it was pretty dismal because no one really had too much success. And if people did have any victories, it was the tiniest amount of hair coming back, or they just stopped their hair loss. And so at that time, I chose with my doctor to go on Propecia, which is basically generic. It's finasteride, put me on 1 milligram daily. And the moment I started taking that was the moment that my hair loss stopped dead in its tracks. I had a tiny bit of thinning, or just thinning of the hair follicles, not necessarily losing hair. And then any receding hairlines I did, a little bit more on my right side. Thank God I at least started that finasteride when I was 19, and it basically stopped everything. And then over the years, watching my brother's hair get thinner, recede even deeper, just like my uncle on my mom's side. So I knew I was doing something right. And then minoxidil never really grew anything. It was such a horrible routine. I did it for like 6-8 months. I never saw a single regrowth. So I basically just stopped that. And that's what people said on the forums, that you know in the first 3 months if it's going to work for you or not. And later down the years, they came out with an oral minoxidil, which was a little bit easier. I might have stayed on that. At this point in my life, there's no point. I don't want to mess with anything because everything's going great. You start tinkering too much and you start going the other way. So basically what I found in my 20s and early 30s that was working was going on finasteride 1 milligram daily, getting Nizoral shampoo, which has been known to help really clean your scalp and get some of that DHT byproduct off your scalp to give your hair the best chance of being healthy, getting blood flow and growing. And then minoxidil, like I said, had I had oral option, I might have kept going with that. At this point, I don't think so, but I do see a lot of people talking. It's like a 50-50 shot whether or not it works for you. So I was one of the lucky ones, and there is chock full of people online. I go on Reddit a lot because that's where like real people are talking. Google filters everything out now. There's a ton of people that talk about how finasteride just totally messed with their sex drive, getting erectile dysfunction from it, a whole slew of things. But anytime you go looking for something, for the all the bad things, you will always find them, and tons of it, right? No one is talking a great story of how it worked so well for them, because it's just too much work. When things go great for us, we enjoy it for ourselves. We don't go talk about it on forums and everything. So if you look at the statistics, like the 1% of people that had all these side effects, those are the people you're hearing about online. And so an option I wish I kind of knew at the beginning was you didn't have to start with 1 milligram daily. You could have started out with a half, and then I could have seen if that was enough to stop everything. And then with your doctor, you could increase the dosage. And I say that because 20 plus years later, now like looking at all these longevity experts, people are talking about we have so much more knowledge about the hair loss and the hair growth cycles and everything. For the people who did do the finasteride at such an early age like I did, basically suppressing your DHT also has side effects besides keeping your hair. And one of those is good for the top part of your hair, bad for body hair and facial. So watching my brother grow in life, having hair everywhere like a monkey, full beard, everything, just like my dad, just like my uncle, my mom's side, everybody had it except for me. So I basically nuked any chance I had of growing any type of facial hair. I mean, I can, it looks like a rat beard. One strand here, one strand there. And basically finding out that suppressing DHT can stop the hair growth on your head, but it also stops any growth on your body and your face. Well, my wife says that, so what is your problem? You won. I don't have to shave or do anything anywhere. But then the other part is not only suppressing that side effect, but there's always lean muscle gain and performance in the gym. And watching my brother putting on muscle and keeping it a little bit easier than me. For me, I went down the personal training route, thank God, and real motivated in that kind of space. But I have to work harder to keep more lean muscle and body fat off my stomach than my brother does. And I attribute that to probably suppressing some of that DHT, that testosterone. And that's okay. I just have to work harder. I'm too scared to cut the dosage in half at this point because I cannot lose hair. That is my thing. I want to keep this all the way in the, you know, my hundreds. So talk with your doctor on that if you care. Then the other part is the minoxidil to try to regrow. If not, the other part of the hair loss journey is graying. And now hitting 41, I think, is when I first started seeing really good amount of gray hairs on my sides. And at 43 on one side, it's been growing in a lot. Not only that, but in my eyebrows. Then I had a person on my podcast, Leslie Kenny, who worked for this company called Oxford Health and basically introduced me to this supplement called spermidine. Now, as hilarious as the name sounds, it's not actual sperm. It's just compounds that the sperm can use, but it's also found all throughout your body. Not only that, in all sorts of different foods that you're already eating, but what quantity are you getting? And maybe like 10 episodes back, if you look with Leslie Kenny, you can, if you're interested, you can listen to it. One of the effects of spermidine, besides all these different longevity and autophagy that's all great, is being able to reversing gray hair, meaning reactivate the stem cells that are in the bottom of your hair follicle bulb to try to get it to start producing more melanin and getting that color back. And I've been on it for now 2.5 months, and I did notice some graying, especially on that right side. And my mom sees me quite often and has noticed it as well. Not 100% gone, and it looks like the color I did get back, that's about it. I mean, I'll be on this for a year, no problem, to really see if I get all of it back. But from the amount of color I got back, I'm happy with anything, right? And then the other side effect is my hair is growing so fast that now I have to go in like 2-3 weeks earlier for my haircut every month. So it's definitely speeding up the process of this hair cycle. It's not making anything thicker. It's just speeding up the growth and it's pulling some of the color back in. I have not noticed any new hair follicle growth, especially on my receding hairline parts, but that is yet to be seen being on this for an extended time. And I did up the dosage a little bit. So what is the future of hair loss? For right now, everything I just told you, stuff that I found out 20 years ago is pretty much the same now, minus maybe some red light therapy. Those products seem like they're getting some traction. We had it back 20 years ago, but obviously not as good as the products are now. Then there's the derma rollers that people swear by. I'm just not looking to get into another routine. I don't see 100% it works, but the derma roller seems to be gaining some traction with people regrowing some new hair follicles. But overall, my whole life, like, nothing has like gotten better for this, really. The only thing that has gotten better is hair transplants, and everyone I know is now going to like Turkey, I guess, because somehow people got trained over here, went over to Turkey because it's cheaper. They can offer hair transplants for way cheaper, and it is like out of control how good they are. So that seems to be the new fad, and I've seen it even in my gym. Two different people that did it came back, and within a year, the amount of hair they had and how good it looked was insane. So I think for now, the name of the game is stopping any further loss if you care. Get the hair transplants if you care, but reactivating stem cells and doing all this stuff, getting the grays back, man, I think we're like 100 years away from fixing this. I know we have so many other problems in this world to worry about, but it still feels good when we get a win. However, on that note, after talking to all these longevity experts, I went to this longevity summit online 2 months ago, and there's some people in there that are just talking about AI, like how it's working for their research. And AI is speeding stuff up so much. So every 10 years, starting now, because of how AI is going, it's like going 50 years into the future. So we might actually get this in the next 20, 30 years. So that's some cool stuff. Obviously, worried about overall health and longevity is more important to me than hair loss. But, you know, we all have our little things we don't like about our body. And it's always fun if we can figure out something that works. So I thought I'd put that out there. For all the men specifically, I didn't want to touch on female hair loss because it's so different and I have no experience with it. What I say is never give up, keep educating yourself, go looking for new things, try stuff safely with a medical or health and wellness professional, and just don't stop trying because you never know what is actually causing the issue that you're having. Anyways, thanks for listening. I'll check you on the next one. Hey everyone, I would just like to thank each and every one of you for supporting my show. My numbers over the years have just been growing and growing on this podcast. One thing that could really help me and something you could do as a listener would be go onto iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. Any other podcast service like Spotify and Podchaser is also great, but iTunes is really where the magic happens for us being podcasters. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
If you'd like a little bit of help checking out your diet and your current routine, I'd be happy to help. I always do a free 15-minute Zoom consultation for anyone, no strings attached. Just to see if I can't help point you in the right direction. So if you're interested, check out the show notes. The link is at the top.